Listener-supported KFUO invites you to listen live to our annual Share-a-thon. It's your opportunity to show your support to KFUO. If you can't join us live, please prayerfully consider supporting us by calling 314-996-1518 and asking about our giving levels. You can also click the Give Now button on our webpage. Share-a-thon 2017, April 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
You're listening to His Time on this Maundy Thursday, Holy Thursday day that we remember our Lord Jesus Christ in the upper room giving the new command. In order that we might love one another, He instituted the Lord's Supper for us, His own body and blood given for us to cover our sins with that sacrifice that He offered on the cross on Good Friday, the beginning of the Triduum, the three most holy days really of the Christian year, four if you count Saturday as well. Now time to talk about, historically speaking, some connections to our past and our future. Knowing where we're going by knowing where we've been, my guest, Pastor Daniel Harmelink, Dr. Daniel Harmelink.
I've got a business card if you'd like it.
I had Daniel, and then I just couldn't get Harmelink for some reason. So breezing into the studio to talk about some good stuff.
It's a mouthful. So a blessed Thursday to you and to all that are listening. So again, this time in April, a lot's going on in Lutheran history, in the history of the church. So again, I encourage everyone, even as we celebrate Holy Week, again, we're reminded of the special Jubilee year when it comes to the Reformation. And if you haven't picked up a good biography of Luther, this is a good time to do that. Don't wait until October 31st to get to rediscover the truths of the gospel rediscovered in the Reformation. So I always tell people the James Kittleson book on Luther,
that's the one I give. Yeah,
is probably the most readable.
Yep.
It's not that long. James Kittleson, printed by Augsburg, I believe.
I think that's right.
The title is Luther the Reformer. So that's kind of first. If you've read the Roland Bainton, Here I Stand, and Kittleson, and you're looking for something deeper, I think even President Harrison said this Martin Brecht three-volume on Martin Luther's life is the gem,
the gold standard. Yeah.
So again, it's a little pricey, but the author is named Martin Brecht, Brecht, and you can pick up a used set for a good price, and again, dig into the riches of the Reformation and its legacy, its enduring legacy.
Yeah. The reason I always give out Kittleson to people first is because he takes the story approach to history, kind of like, now I can't think of the guy's name, John Adams and a couple other more, 1776, David McCullough, mm-hmm. is a modern author who mm-hmm. does story history, and so it becomes very accessible to someone who's not into history. But then you want to learn more, you got to go a little deeper, you go toward that more scholastic version. What year was the Brecht published in? How old is that?
It's a little dated. Obviously, it was written in German and then translated into
right.
English. So the English translation came out in 1985. But again, I think there's so much detail and things that you think, oh, God's hand was working in all of this. So I still think it's the gold standard. So April 15th, just a few days away, two things happened that I wanted to make note of. Again, you can give us a call, 314-505-7900, or give us an email. That's available on our website. You can subscribe to this Week in Lutheran History and receive these every week, as far as just a breakdown of, okay, what happened, what important things happened in the history of the church on this date. So in April 15th is a kind of a red letter day. In 1530, Martin Luther was kind of secretly at the Coburg as the Lutheran princes in Melanchthon presented the Augsburg Confession in Augsburg. So we remember that time. Sometimes you see a portrait of Martin Luther with a beard. And I like to remind people, Martin Luther grew a beard not only in the Wartburg after he was declared an outlaw, but he also grew a beard when he was waiting in the safety of the Coburg while the rest of the entourage went into Augsburg, where he was an outlaw again. So,
so where's the Coburg? I'm not familiar with that.
Coburg was in the, it was in Lutheran territory. So the journey from Wittenberg, they stopped at Coburg, and there's a castle there too.
So it must be like at the end of the newer Luther movie, he's out in a field on a horse, and Melanchthon comes riding back saying, you know, that they listened to us or whatever, and that probably is then trying to show that.
So hopefully in the movie, Luther had a beard because
he didn't.
He was in disguise at the Coburg also, so that's kind of a trivial question. But April 15th is important for another reason, and that is in 1841, this is when the Altenburg debate began.
Okay.
So this is Walther and Marbach talking about the true nature of the Christian church, and it's decisive for the trajectory of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. And it's interesting, I'm reading some Reformation sermons preached by Walther, and he makes a statement in one of these that one of the doctrines that's second only to the doctrine of justification is the rediscovery of the true nature of the church.
Huh.
So obviously that was a big deal for Walther and for the Missouri Synod, but sometimes we don't appreciate our clear understanding of what the church on earth is and what it isn't.
Well, I've just started reading with the listeners here on Fridays, a little Herman Sasse, for just that reason. And his emphasis on ecclesiology, the study of the church, has been universally inspiring for me. And also, readers also will recognize the work, The Church and the Office of the Ministry, by C.F.W. Walther, so that book that we've been picking at on mm-hmm. Wednesdays mm-hmm. Comes out of this Altenburg debate, a result of this debate.
It's basically just a flowering of what Walther presents. When, again, these Saxon immigrants, Stefan has been rowed across the Mississippi, and now they're wondering, do we just go back? Are we a church, or have we been orphaned?
Right.
A big deal.
Right. And to while you transition here, Sasse's whole thing is that, picking up on your justification idea, justification was the recognition of how we stand before God, but then the question also where we stand and where we receive this and mm-hmm. what it means to be a part of this body, which then we talked earlier today about the supper making you this body of Christ, and the confidence we have that assembled around the word and sacraments of Jesus, we are his called people. You don't need a particular institution. You don't need the imprimatur of some guy with a big funny hat. You need the word and sacraments of Jesus. And that is a huge, huge shift in thinking from the medieval world.
So give thanks today for the Altenburg debate. God was with Walther and brought comfort to people that had no comfort in that situation. So the segue is, again, at CHI, we have this fantastic exhibit on the Reformation. It's open Monday through Fridays, 8:30 in the morning until about 3:30 in the afternoon. Please feel free to come down and see it. We always have people that, once the exhibit is closed, we get people coming in the next week saying, I'm here to see the exhibit, and we have to tell them, sorry. And this also happened with the Papua New Guinea exhibit that preceded what's up now. But the good news is that the Papua New Guinea exhibit, we came out with an exhibit catalog, so if you did not see that, you can still review that exhibit in the catalog. So that's available. It's all full color. There's artifacts from Papua New Guinea, paintings of the what the people of Papua New Guinea looked like when Lutheran mission work started in the 1940s there. But today I wanted to come in and show you some of the artifacts, some of the treasures that we have. Usually you think of, okay, artifacts from Papua New Guinea is probably a spear or a mask or something like
that. Right, right.
But one of the most precious artifacts that we have, maybe you can hear that metal sound, is a motion picture film that was shot of Papua New Guinea. And this goes way, way back. So the problem is that out of the artifacts that we have, you know, we have documents and books and photographs and things like that, but one of the most fragile artifacts that's has been entrusted to CHI is this motion picture film? And as you can tell, it's starting to smell.
Yeah, sure.
So it's kind of like when Jesus says, open up the tomb of Lazarus, and the response is, Lord, he stinketh, right? So this film is deteriorating, and it's deteriorating quickly. So one of the initiatives that we've begun, it's called the Lutheran Film Restoration Project, and we have a listing of probably half a dozen of these motion picture film reels that we would like people to adopt so that we can get them digitized and basically save them. In the next 10, 20 years, some of the hundreds of motion picture film that we have that goes, I mean, back early into the 19th century or 20th century is going to basically fall apart.
Right, right, because film was not made to last very long. And just to describe this to you there, right now I'm holding one that's about 6 inches in diameter, a metal case. The case has got a piece of tape on it that's from 1948, it says on the piece of tape. And on the back, you have another thing that's from 1969 with one of those. You remember these? There's a way to make a label that would, like, punch it in with a really weird thing, and you do it one letter at a time, and you'd break the thing off, and it would stick on. So all that there, and then inside you got what looks like you know, something you would used to use at movie theaters. Movie theaters now gone all digital for the most part. Right. You know, they'd have these out in the back of the movie theater, and it's just a roll of film, which I'm sure has so what is on these? Is it a catalog of the process of evangelization? And also my other question, is it sound? Is there sound on these, or is it just picture?
Some and yes and no, as far as the sound goes. I mean, you know, most of these old ones are obviously in black and white, and then color and sound kind of comes later. But let me read some of the things that are on this reel of film. It says... It films one of the members of the first baptism services in 1957. His life, they show life, this person who was baptized, his life before the missionaries came. They show the building of a house. They have these fertility cults and stuff. So it's basically getting to know the stark difference between life before there was any gospel.
Right.
And then life under Christ and the baptized life under Christ. So all kinds of things. But as you know, some people get connected in different ways. The Papua New Guinea exhibit that we had showed paintings that were done by a missionary. And this motion picture film, I think, again, will hopefully be an entry door into a renewed interest in the history, the mission history of the Lutheran Church around the world.
Right, because we have been, contrary to some popular belief, very active in mission work throughout our history. It hasn't always borne the fruit we wish it would bear, but Papua New Guinea is a pretty famous part of that.
Yeah, the seeds are sown, and we leave the rest up to Christ.
That's right.
So, unfortunately, the Missouri Synod particularly is characterized as kind of inward-looking all the time, and it's just these kinds of films just break that off.
Yeah, it's historically just not true.
No.
Yeah. And today it's just not true either. We're still trying to send missionaries everywhere. In fact, if you haven't heard, there's a whole bunch more making the rounds right now seeking to be aided in this because of the, they need funds to survive where they go. And sometimes that's the real limitation. If anything's inward looking, it's our refusal to part with, say, our new refrigerator and our third car, for the sake of the gospel.
So help CHI, help the church, bring to the fore this evidence of our desire to take this gospel that we have been made stewards of and share it with the world. So if you want to, you know, dedicate the restoration or the digitization of one of these films to a loved one or to a missionary that you know, give us a call. We'd love to move this forward. It would be a shame to say we had this documentation of God's work in Papua New Guinea, but it's lost.
Right, right. Is there anything they can find on the website about this, too, or they just got to give you a call? If so, give the number again.
I've got a handout. Right. Give us a call, 314-505-7900, or go on the website. You can shoot us an email.
My guest, Dr. Daniel Harmelink of the Concordia Historical Institute, talking about a number of very important historical things, the least of which is not our work in Papua New Guinea and our record of that, which CHI, among many other things, catalogs, keeps, and lets us be able to see well into the future. Thanks, Dr. Harmelink, for being with me today.
Blessings.
Blessings on your Monday, Thursday as well, your Holy Week celebration. We'll be here tomorrow morning. Got a special first hour for you on your morning drive for the soul. And then we will be doing our His Time lectionary study as well, Hebrews chapter 6. So I do look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.